Financial. Fuck. Financial professional. Gonna be on No Fronts Podcast. Yeah. I'm just kidding about that. I'm super psyched, super psyched, super stoked. My guy, my dude, financial professional, gonna reveal his first name, and that's it. And I hope you guys enjoy. This is somebody with some real fucking value. Really smart and has really kind of changed Instagram in a big way. I don't know, 360,000 followers or something, but the way he got it and the story and just kind of what he does, and I'm really excited about this. So yeah, let's get weird. I have someone today that's pretty cool. I actually have been super excited about this episode. And I kind of like announced a little bit on my story today to get people interested, because a lot of people know who he is and see what he's doing, and he's got a really cool presence, but it's also like more about what he is and what he knows, and just a smart dude. You guys all know him as financial professional. I'm just gonna say his name's Alan. And we'll leave it at that. And Alan, what's going on, man?
What's going on? How is everybody? I'm great. No complaints on my end.
I'm glad you're here. So let's just get into it. I know that time is a little limited. Let's just start straight up, man. Like, what do you do?
So I'm a financial analyst. I work in investment banking, loan syndication. So the easiest way to describe what that is say a company wants to take out a loan for say $100 million.
Yep.
It's my job to contact a ton of other banks and financial institutions and say, hey, you want to try to sell it off. So say I'll get in contact with 10 other banks and try to sell them $10 million of the loan to like write down what we've lent out. Not necessarily write down, but try to get some of our money back because we went out of 100 million, you know?
Right. So and so like are you and so what is the analyst part about that?
I mean, it's just kind of like a general name for it, but really what I'm doing is just like I calculate our daily risk portfolio, so how much we lent out, breaking down how much of like each institution bought what percentage of the loan.
Got
And
it.
just that stuff.
Got it. So that's your day to day. It is so it's it, you know, you're definitely in the financial field. And then let's get into, because I think it's I wanted to ask you that, and I think it's important to sort of ask, just because there's so much, like I met you on through Instagram, right? And there's so much there's you know these accounts that are dropping a lot of knowledge, like yours, for example. You don't have a personal brand at all, right? So like,
No.
so it's blocked off, so you don't really know who is behind it. And I know a lot of times, and I think it shows in your content why there's so much trust and why you have the following you do, is because like you really know what you're doing and talking about. And so a lot of these accounts, they don't. And so I just wanted to like get into like kind of how you went about that, starting
Yeah.
financial
All right, yeah. Well, like, I mean, I'm
professional.
not lead anyone, so like that's why I kind of keep it how it is, and I'm not out there giving like stock recommendations or anything because, in all reality, you need to be licensed to do that.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it's also huge compliance issues with firms and such, so cross that line. But how it came about starting financial professional was actually a couple years ago. I started a motivational page called Billionaire Bankroll, and I was just pushing out content, pushing it out. And I was spending like hours a day just making content, putting together motivational quotes. Like I have a spreadsheet on my laptop with over 2,000 quotes.
Wow. Have you thought about putting it out again? Like redoing that content? Just because, like, I feel like right now.
Because to be honest, like, it's just, it's oversaturated and it's said over and over again.
Yeah.
So, I've always been really passionate about finance. I mean, went to school for finance. I work in finance. But actually, like, ever since, like, when I really stepped in was eighth grade, I got into it. So, like, I've always been very passionate. So, I saw that there wasn't a huge, like, financial niche on Instagram. Like, there was the stock pushers, the people that are putting out their daily watch lists and all of that.
Was Forex even Forex even big yet then, or no?
I mean, Forex has always kind of been its whole thing.
Forex has been around for years. People don't realize that also. But what I'm saying is, like, on Instagram was, like, there was that, like, did that already kind of have a niche yet, or was it kind of not even existing there either?
I mean, it was there, but it wasn't as, like, you didn't have, I mean, like, you had spam accounts.
Right.
Forex, but it wasn't as bad as it is now.
Right. So you saw the gap, and then what happened?
So I just saw it, and I was just thinking, like, how do I go about making this content? Because I was pushing out the motivational quotes for a while, but then I saw a couple other accounts popping up, and they were putting out amazing content. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time putting out sub-quality content. I really just want to get a message out there and build a name. So I had already had a following of 20,000 people with Billionaire Bankroll. So I made the switch to Financial Professional. And at first, I was just putting out, like, Bloomberg articles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I lost, actually, like, roughly, like, 4,000, 5,000 followers when I made the original switch. So, but then these accounts, like I just mentioned, came out and started putting out amazing content. So I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna start reposting their content, because I figured they wouldn't mind, considering the fact that I was larger than them. I'm getting their message out there.
Dude, that's interesting though. That part, but also just real quick, something that just kind of like hit something for me was, like, so you lost 4,000 and you didn't stop. What was it that, like, kind of was like, because with the prior account, you kind of stopped, right? Like,
yeah.
But, like, what was it that, even though you lost 4,000, what did you see that, like, where did you see the potential even though you were losing? That's really interesting to me.
Because there wasn't a ton of financial accounts out there. I mean, there was Millionaire Mentor, who's half motivation, half, like, will give you a dose of financial knowledge, you know?
Right.
Always, like, other accounts like Grant Cardone and Dan Locke, but they were always huge.
Right.
There wasn't any of the smaller niche accounts yet.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to go for it.
Because most people would have stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm interested. Like, I really actually admire it. It was like, a lot of people would have stopped losing that much.
Like, I'm passionate about it, though. And I figured in the long run, I'm just going to get my message out there and the people that will stick with me.
Love it.
That's my market.
I love that. That's super cool. So you were at 20 and then you lost some, and then what happened?
I sat there one day and I was just like, when I made the switch, I was losing followers, and then I started growing and I got it back up to like 25. But I sat there for like a month or two. And there was a point when I almost like got rid of the account. I was sitting there thinking, like, am I wasting my time? Like, I haven't made time doing this. Even though I wasn't necessarily focused on the whole monetizing it then, it was more so just like, I'm not getting anything out of this. But then I was just thinking, like, long term, social media is just starting. I'm relatively young.
So when was this, actually?
This was actually back in June.
Okay.
Well, I made the original switch in April to Financial Professional, so I had a couple months worth of just pushing content of, like, the losing, and then...
So 2018. So you started this account. So what? Because I started mine
at Billionaire Bankroll.
Right. So you had built up some following, but still, you were at about 20 when you started it, and that was in that's around the time I started my account. That's why I'm really super into it.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
It was the same month. So like for me, like to see the growth you've had is unbelievable. So keep going. This is crazy.
Back to the growth though. So do you want me to dive into how I went about growing?
You think, sure. Whatever you want to talk about, man.
Originally, I was involved in a ton of engagement groups. And I'm not going to lie and say that they're absolutely terrible. But I'm also not going to say that they're the best thing to help you grow.
I'm with you.
You know, when you're small, it's great to find a community of people to help motivate you, like each pictures and comment on it and get your message out there. But once you get out there, one person liking your picture isn't going to make an entire difference unless that person has 5 million followers. At that point, it's you're in these engagement groups. There's 500, not 500 people. There's 20 people in there. Some of the larger ones on Telegram, 200 people in them. But you're throwing your posts in and you're wasting your time. With 2 hours that goes by, you like 100 posts and you look at your picture and there's only 75 likes. And you're just why? There's 500 people in this group. What is going on?
Yep. I also noticed personally, and I could be wrong, but I'm heavy into actually since we spoke, because something you said, and I'll let you get into it. When we spoke on the phone the first time, you said something, you said you went really heavy on analytics. So I started to I took that and ran with it. So I have an analytics program that I'm going to drop it. Probably I held back a little bit, some beta stuff I want to get out, but it's super valuable. And also
you learn a lot. You learn a lot from what content works, what doesn't, or engaging with it. It's a whole different perspective.
It's really can change everything.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of addicting. So back to the analytics thing and restarting my account when I made the switch and blah blah blah. So back in the summer though, around June, when I was thinking about just throwing the account out, I was like, you know what? There's these other accounts that came out. They have great content. I'm going to go with the whole repost thing. I'm done posting articles and stuff like that. I mean, it did okay, but that wasn't necessarily intriguing my followers. I mean, they really didn't care if Tesla missed on earnings or not. You know? That doesn't do anything for them if they don't have money to buy the stock.
Right.
It's not teaching them anything. It's just, all right, that's just the news. They could have went on any online website and gotten that information.
Right.
So I said, screw it, I'm going to go with this content. Well, there's a couple accounts that came out. Shout out to, do you care if I shout them out? I'm going to do it anyway.
No, please, dude, do it. REM, do it.
They all have amazing content. Business tutorship, instant pay raise, Alex Hart stuff, all of them.
Instant Pay Raise is someone I've become friends with. I'm really into him. We just did a live today, and he's a good kid, think what he's doing is dope.
Yeah, so they all have, really good content. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run with it. So it's kind of messed up. The thing that I realized was that because I was larger than them, when I reposted their content, I made it on the Explore page because more people were liking it than them.
You're
only at 1,000 followers, and I'm at 20,000. So I got a ton of growth from their amazing content. But at the same time, they also got growth alone. I'm not going to say that, because I've posted them, they've grown. They've grown solely because of themselves and the amazing content that they have. But as I've grown, so have they. I'm at 300,000 now, and Joe Money is at, 160 or something. Get Your Money Right, and Business Tutorship over 100, all of them.
Yep.
So, but also at the same time, the niche is blowing up. And the content's amazing. So I feel the reason why I've grown so much is because of entering the niche at the perfect time. Because it wasn't oversaturated yet. And I wouldn't even say that it's oversaturated yet.
Right.
You look at these motivation accounts, there's thousands of them.
Right.
I only think, there might only be 100 finance accounts that I've ran into so far. Well, not ran into, come across. And
Got
then,
it.
like, yeah, so, back to the analytics. I use the app Command.
Yep.
Great.
I use that one too. Do you do the paid one?
Yeah.
Is it that much of a difference?
I mean, I'm not necessarily really utilizing all the paid features. I'm really just like, this product's changing my life, so I might as well just pay them.
Totally. I use Command a little bit, and I use Preview as well.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I pulled some of the stuff on the Excel files, but like, it's all in the app. You don't need to buy it.
Got it.
You'll get it. Like, I just bought it recently, but I was using it for the longest time free.
I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. You know, I used it, and I don't know, because I used, you know, I've got my own that I'm going to be dropping, but like, I used Preview, and Preview, I noticed, was telling me that the best times for me to post were at like 1 a.m. And so that just, there's something, I couldn't figure out what that was about.
Well, I mean, that depends, like, when's the next time you post after 1 a.m.? Probably 9 o'clock in the morning when you wake up.
Right.
Or whatever, like, think about it, that post is up for 8 hours.
But one, right.
Better.
Right. So, and you know, something else is that the one thing about the Command thing is that I'm curious about with the paid is they do have, and you can tell me from looking at yours with the paid, is like the feature that tells you when users are online. That's fascinating. How accurate?
I do like that feature. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably one of the most interesting features any app has ever come out with, if it's accurate.
I mean, it's great. Well, but I mean, I wouldn't. There are some flaws with the app. Like, have you ran into the issue where like your followers don't load on one day?
Yeah.
The growth, and it's like you have like an absurd amount of growth followers for one day, but it's really just 2 days worth of data put together.
Yeah, I've also had it where it said I lost way more than I did.
Was that when that whole Instagram thing lost followers?
No, I didn't lose any on that.
I didn't lose any either. I gained followers that day.
I didn't lose. And like,
to be honest though, I feel like that whole like losing followers thing was just deleting all the fake accounts.
It's what it was. And it's so funny because people like were like shocked. It's like, dude, just be real. You must have bought followers at one time early on. Like these big accounts, like even, you know, Gary Vee lost. And like, a lot of people did buy early on when they first started. Like, that's just the facts.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And those dead accounts that were just sitting there in your account.
I mean, like, you see it on so many accounts you go there, and it's just like 100,000 followers, but your pictures get 200 likes.
It's like, it's so obvious. It's that to me is like, especially I could get into that for a while, that whole thing. But also, like, some people buy followers where they're actually real followers, and then the people unfollow, you know, because they don't really want to watch their content.
See, the new thing, there's new thing where people are paying people to comment on their pictures now.
What do you mean? Like individuals?
Yeah, like, I'll see it, like, there's, like, every, like, just for, you look at sponsored posts when some people run sponsored posts on some accounts, mm-hmm. You look at the comments, literally the same exact comments from the same exact accounts every single time. And it's just like, it's those people paying those accounts.
Oh, so like when they do like a paid ad or something.
Yeah. It has to be.
Right.
I mean, I got to me saying like, how much to get you to like and comment on every single one of my pictures. And I just found, like, to be honest, I don't even like your comment on all of my pictures.
Right.
But yours.
No, and like, yeah, I've been getting asked the whole shout out thing a lot lately, and it's hard because like I can't, with what I'm creating my brand, it's like I just don't do it. It just, because it doesn't make sense for an agency, in my opinion.
Well, exactly. Because honestly, if you think about it, any shout out you would do, well, any shout out you should do should just be
a client or get a client. Like, eventually, that's my client, right? Like,
that's just driving more traffic to yourself. That's the whole point of your page.
Exactly.
Business for your agency.
Yeah, exactly. So when they ask me, I'm like,
continue.
No, when they ask me, I'm just like, dude, did you actually read my bio? Like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, I can help you grow your Instagram account. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm happy to do that. But like, why would, like, shout out doesn't make any sense.
the best messages that I get have to be when people reach out to me and they're like, hey, I'll help you grow your following, 500 followers a day.
Oh my God. Have you been getting...
I have 200 followers. And I already get more than 500 followers a day. So
well, what's funny? No, but have you been getting this influx of blank accounts, no followers, no picture, nothing, sending you DMs?
Yeah.
I've been getting those every day, like 3-4 a day.
I mean, I get a ton of, honestly, I might get 350, 400 DMs a day. And half of them are spam from people asking me if I want to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, I get that.
Or trade Forex. I hate when people ask me if I want to, like, do you know how to trade? Do you want to learn how to trade? It's just like, did you even read my bio? Did you even read my username?
They don't. And see, that's the thing is also, like, what I, you know what my response, I have the same response to them is every time, like, I have near zero interest, but if you ever want to learn how to properly target, send me a message because what you're doing is bullshit. It's garbage. That's what I write back to them now. I literally am like, if you're targeting me, then you literally have no you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, the funniest have to be the Bitcoin miners. Do you want to make money mining Bitcoin? And I'm just sitting there thinking, it costs more money to mine the currency right now than what it's worth.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I know a guy actually who created like the most green system ever imaginable. And I'm kind of fascinated by his because it's like using less power than like almost as much power as charging a cell phone.
A Bitcoin miner?
Yeah.
You have one?
No, somebody that I know has it's so...
I mean, I'm sitting on the whole, like, space. I think that blockchain and crypto is... It could have a bright future. It's skeptical.
Yeah.
At the end, it does. Like, the way future... I just like the way the future is. And like internet and all that. Like, nobody thought the internet was going to be anything.
No, and there were a lot of things that happened along the way where the internet like seemed like it was taking a turn and like people were like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, also think about it, like 500 years ago in America they used to trade seashells as currency.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure the Indians did that. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not a historian, but just the way things are. You know,
100%. I think that
it's irrelevant. Like, not gold coin isn't irrelevant now. It still has its worth, but I'm not over here exchanging gold bullions.
Right.
At the gas station.
Right.
You know?
What's kind of interesting to me though is like, if Bitcoin, like the amount of money that was spent and put into it in the past, what, like 6, 7, 8 years, like that tells me something, right? Like even if it's taking a turn, something like that, like where that much money has gone in and out, tells me that like it's not just gonna end. Like I'm not like, well, you know what I mean?
You have right now I'm looking at it as it does have a purpose. You look at what's going on in Venezuela with this whole crisis. Like God bless everybody there right now, but It's really bad, and inflation has deteriorated their home currency, and there's some people are relying on cryptocurrency, and you look at the transaction amount of Bitcoin from right now as what it was at its all-time highs, it's at almost the same levels, but the price isn't the same.
Right.
So what that says is that people are actually using it as a form of payment now.
Yep.
You know, and that what's going on in Venezuela is a perfect like use case of it. Also, like another amazing use case would be like in Africa.
Yep.
All of the countries that like there's a lot of corruptness there. I'm not like gonna say which company.
No, but
like it's very well known that Africa is corrupt, but that's a perfect like use case of Bitcoin.
What do you just switch real quick, but like, what do you think about something that someone brought to my attention? A really talented was with, I believe it was like Merrill Lynch or one of them. But what do you think? What are your thoughts about future trading?
I mean, I'm not like necessarily like for it or against it. I'm I mean, I'm for it. The people that know how to do it should. It's really just, like, I mean, I could trade, like, if you wanted, you could trade an ETF of the S&P 500, but the futures contract is just you're saying that this is going, like, the S&P 500 is going to be at such and such at a certain point in time, but you're just trading, like, an absurd amount of, not an absurd amount, but, like, a specific amount of contracts, you know?
Right, exactly. But, so, what I'm, I don't know.
It's really just, like, for the big money players. That's the way that I look at it. Like, you have no reason trading futures if you're not big money.
Right. Right. I don't know. I wonder if there's a...
You're risky, you know? Like, that's my viewpoint at it. Like, if you wanted, you could trade options on an ETF. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No reason for a small individual to take that much risk trading futures.
Right. And right now...
I mean, they could buy smaller contracts. That'd be fine. But at the same time, I just don't understand why you would take that much risk.
And right now, like, what would you say something is that, like, because, like, day trading and all that, and, like, Forex, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think that I imagine, and I'm just starting to learn and really trying to educate myself about stocks and trading, because I think anyone should know how to do it. Like, I think everybody should have an understanding of it, you know? But, like, is there something you see around the corner right now that, like, could catch on with the younger people, like the way that Forex has?
Like, what do you mean? Like, a certain industry that I think is going to do well?
A certain type of trading. Like, Forex is currency, but it's been around forever, right? But, like, it all of a sudden became, like, this hot thing, even though it's been around forever. So I'm saying, like...
But that's just, like, you have to... I mean, it's always been around.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, the right words for what I'm trying to say, but...
What I'm saying is it got big and trendy, and it became, like, this thing recently, right? Even though it's been around forever.
But that's, like, everything. A couple people got rich off of trading penny stocks, and now they're selling their courses all over the place. You know?
Right. Right.
Like, anything. Like, I wanted to start sports betting.
Right.
I could then turn around and create a course all about sports betting, and maybe that would catch on. But I don't necessarily think anything like that. I guess crypto, probably.
Yeah.
Gonna catch on, but, like, that's already caught on.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I guess
I have no idea, but I'm also, like, I'm not a clairvoyant.
Right.
You know?
Right. I guess more something that, but what I mean is almost so, like, something that's, like, a little bit more user-friendly. I don't think Forex is very user-friendly. I think people are probably buying these courses and being like, whoa, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. This is, like, instant. This is so quick. If I don't, you know, like...
That's the regular stock markets also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can trade a volatile asset, volatile stock.
Right. I guess that's true. Yeah. You told me something, and I wanted you to bring it up. I know we got to wrap it up soon, but you were saying something about, if you saved a certain amount of money by a certain age, you'd have, what was that again?
Oh, I was just talking about how, like, people just don't understand how, like, saving $100 a week can have such a monumental impact on their life. Like, for example, if you were to save, say, $100 a week, max out your Roth IRA for a max of $5,500 a year, right? Mm-hmm. That's all you can contribute to your investments, and you started investing at age 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to retire at age 65.
Mm-hmm.
And if you achieved a rate of return of 6%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saved $100 a week at the age of 22,
mm-hmm.
you would have $1,191,802.21 in your IRA, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 65, solely because you saved $100 a week.
That is some.
I know.
That is.
That's a below market return for the average. Average return for the S&P 500 has been 7% forever. Not forever, but
that's, you know, unbelievable thing to think about, though.
7% return is 1.5956143. Like 1.5 mil.
Yeah.
$100 a week.
But those are numbers that people really don't think of. Like when you play, when you paint that picture, it's kind of
fathomable at first.
Right. And it's like, hello, like wake up, people. You know what I mean? And that's sort of why I say the whole thing about like everyone should learn stock just to know, because like you can't lose by learning something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not even like from the whole trading aspect. Like I feel like everybody should focus on their investments, their financial future. Like you don't need to be like, don't get me wrong, I actively trade the markets and I'm not going to dive into that. But like, I'll dive into a little bit, but like I trade stocks and options.
Right? Yeah, yep.
But, and I have, I trade using a technical strategy. I also like code, like learn how to code on a computer. I taught myself.
So you have your own algorithm?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So yeah, algorithms and stuff, but people don't need to dive in and do all that. Like I did that because I'm passionate about it and building a career around it.
Right.
But you could very well just put your money in the S&P or like an ETF. Passive investing has pretty much taken over, and I'll break that down. So an ETF is a mutual fund, and a mutual fund is basically, say, a collection of stocks. So say you have $100 and you want to invest it, but you don't want to risk all your money, say, buying one stock, or you can't afford to buy Amazon because Amazon's $1,500 a share.
Right.
And you only have $100. So why don't you buy an ETF? An ETF is, say, they pulled a ton of money together and they invested it into a bunch of stocks. And now you now own a piece of that fund.
Right.
Owning a little piece of all of those stocks. So now you're now diversified. So say, if Apple goes down that day, but all the other stocks went up, the ETF went up, and you just wouldn't have lost your money just because you put all your money in Apple, you know?
So isn't that kind of like a smaller version of what Acorns does?
I mean, Acorns utilizes ETFs, so I would say Acorns is a smaller version of kind of like a financial savings, you know?
Yeah.
ETF instrument that Acorns utilizes.
Right.
So, but like passive investing, so like you buy the collection of stocks instead of having
one and just taking that big risk, you like, exactly. Yeah.
So, and your return is based upon how that basket of stocks performs.
It's like spreading yourself thin in the right way.
Well, also, the way these ETFs work is, say, you've now put your money in. So now this fund now has more money.
Right.
So this fund now has to buy all of these stocks at the current price, like current price,
right,
regardless of whatever they're trading at. So it artificially pumps up the price of the shares.
Wild
shares, you know,
like, yeah.
ETF consists of like the S&P 500 ETF consists of the stocks that are within the S&P 500. So, as more money gets funneled into this ETF, they're gonna pump up the price of the stocks that are contained within the ETF,
right? Right.
I mean, the strategy where you buy the stocks that are in the ETF, hoping that like they get pumped up, but there's also a strategy to everything, and with every strategy, you have to learn the risks and rewards for each.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's a big mistake people don't look into is looking at the risks as well, yeah, when they're first getting, yeah, into it.
But the best advice that I could offer to the average investor is just buy the basket.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, I mean, if you don't know, if you don't understand it, not gonna, like, if you don't have the time to learn it, don't frustrate yourself. Don't complicate it, you know?
Right. And I guess, and what would you say a resource is, like a trustworthy resource for just kind of learning, like, what to buy? If just, for someone who doesn't really want, like you just said, like, that doesn't want to be frustrated, it's not going to get frustrated, but they do want to put their money into something.
Like, are you asking for like a specific stock they should put their money into?
No. I'm saying like a resource.
Like, also just like a bunch of other resources. Like, Honestly, the best thing that I could just recommend is just Google it. If you are interested about something, just Google it.
I agree with you, but here's where I'm noticing an issue, by the way, with that. Because I'm a firm believer there's so much information. The first layer of searches now at this day and age when we Google is straight up affiliate shit. And meaning, it's like every single, like the first 20 articles that come up aren't even from credible things. It's like some kind of funnel or bait and switch thing. So with the, it's kind of hard now.
It is, but I mean, at the same time, you got to just learn how to sort through the bullshit.
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah. When, for example, I went to school, majored in finance. That's how I learned some of this. But like when I went into school, I was sitting in my classes saying, like, I already know this because I spent thousands of hours searching the internet.
That's why I like YouTube, actually, for a lot of things. I think when it comes to searching, it's like, for me, at least, the way that I learn, it's a lot easier to sort through the bullshit. Because there's a lot of people that are, like, giving knowledge on YouTube who aren't even trying to make a dollar still. And, like, they could have a long time ago.
Like, I utilized YouTube. Like, I've watched so many trading courses on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, I like YouTube for that. I think learning, when it comes to Google, I go to YouTube first. I know it's, like, the same thing, but, like, when you get to see a video, you kind of, for me at least, I get to see what, like, oh, okay, this guy actually really does know what he's talking about. And he's not even, like, there's no links, affiliate links. Like, I'm actually going to trust this one.
Yeah. Oh, wait, one thing that I definitely wanted to recover over was when we were talking about the analytics and how I mentioned that it's addicting.
Yep.
I didn't get to cross back over and cover that again. But, like, when you start tracking your analytics, and you're putting out content. Like, when I made that switch in the summer and I decided, I was like, you know what, I'm really going to just see where I can go with this account. I'm going to put in a couple months' worth, like, the rest of the year's worth.
Yep.
Of just, if I get nowheres with it, then I just get nowheres with it, and that's okay. Like, I'm willing to live with that.
Yep.
But, like, I want to see where I can actually take this. So I was posting 7-9 times a day.
Very smart.
Just grinding. And when you see on the analytics app that you grew your following by 20% in a week,
yep,
that's addicting,
dude. I'm merging. I got this. We're working on different kinds of partnerships. One of the companies that I actually only think I sent you Tapstone, but like one of the companies that I also mentioned, my buddy is the sole owner. He's got 80 employees, it's a marketing firm in LA, and like. They have no Instagram presence. So I'm like, I just started on it. And my thing has been like posting an obscene, a lot of it's been reposts, but I've been posting a lot of content. And I find that like, actually that's one of the quickest ways to grow an account. Especially if you're really focusing on the analytics.
Yeah. Repost is great. I mean, focus on the viral content. That's what I did. I mean, I wasn't going to post anything that nobody liked.
Yeah, but like you learn really quick. It's crazy. Like if you actually are doing that, that's why it's like when you do that, it is, I think that's a good point. It's very important to post a lot if you're doing that because you really like, it's like testing an ad. It's like basically testing ad spend.
This is the way that I look at it. The best way to get your message out there is by getting your message out there.
Yep. Yep.
That's as simple as that.
It's the what I say for YouTube. You know, Instagram's a little different, but like with YouTube, it's like YouTube's a big box, you know? And the more you fill in that box, the more chances are when someone searches for something, you're going to come up. It's that obvious.
YouTube's something that I definitely want to get into, but like I can't obviously right now.
Insta Payraise posted something today that was, so he had sent me the email a while back, not a while, like a couple weeks ago. And he ended up making like a slider on it. You should check it. But like it basically like the content because I really researched it when he sent me this information. He put something up that basically like how you could literally make $1 million business on a YouTube channel by reposting. And it's like it's spot on how it's laid out.
Just by reposting other people's videos?
Yep. Yep.
Copyright stuff.
Nah, but there's
Instagram. Like, I repost people's content and just throw them the cred.
Yeah, but, like, how do you, what's the copyright on if it's just video of a screenshot of people playing a video game? Think about that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of, like, content out there that's going viral that, like, you actually don't, there's not really a copyright on.
Yeah, but I mean, you also have to, like, there's so much now, like, it's, I don't know, it's risky. Like, I look at, for example, the other day, like, I think it was Gigi Hadid or Bella Hadid, one of those supermodels posted a picture that a paparazzi took of them.
Uh-huh.
Now the paparazzi is suing them for, like, whatever money they made based off of that picture, even though it was a picture of them.
I would like to see how that ends up in court.
Yeah,
because I, from what I know, I don't think that's going to turn out how the paparazzi wanted it to, but I could be wrong.
Well, but my only thing is, like, that picture is right, to the paparazzi.
Yes, but it depends where it was taken and if they gave permission.
Public, they didn't give permission, but also, like, think about it. You don't have to consent to being in a picture. Like, say you're at a restaurant and you're at a table next to a table and somebody's, like, taking a picture and you're in it. Like, you didn't consent to that.
Well, no, but the restaurant might not. Like I was vlogging in a restaurant the other day and they said I couldn't. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's all relative. Like, it is private property.
What I'm saying is, like, taking a picture at a table. Like for example, like, my family.
Get what you're saying. So it, but it's like, how do you prove that, right? Like, what if they say, like, okay, I was just taking a picture, and then they were behind it. It's like, okay, but that's, come on, that's getting really, like, into semantics.
Yeah,
I'm curious how it's going to turn out.
This day and age is crazy. I don't know. You have people over here faking attacks. Like,
that's crazy.
Everybody's crying wolf about, like, sexual abuse. I'm not condoning sexual abuse.
No, but like, it's true.
About it. CEO is probably shitting themselves saying, like, God forbid, my secretary, if she wanted at any moment, could just say this.
Even,
like,
if it wasn't true.
Like, you know what I mean? There goes my career.
Yes, and especially when things are big, like, right? Like, so if someone did it 10 years ago, and by the way, like, if it really happened, then that's different. But let's say it didn't happen, but it was like 10 years ago and there wasn't like these back-to-back lawsuits. Then
brought up.
What?
That stuff. Like, I don't know, like, all of that. Like, all these cases where it's like, this happened 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Why was that brought up?
Why? Why wasn't it? Exactly. Like, why wasn't it brought up? And, like, there's some where, like, yeah, I'm sure some of that stuff, 100%, it didn't get brought up because of maybe some kind of fear. But
we now live in a day and age, though, where people cry and people listen.
Right.
Now, when it's like.
But we also live in a day and age now where, like, you have a phone. And so, like, if something is going on, you could film it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
in a day and age where if you want to get something out there, you can get it out there.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Connected.
Yep. Well, dude, I know, like, this was, we went a little over, but I also, like, I'm glad that we got to really talk, because I think this was cool, and I feel like, you know, there's a lot of value that you bring, and, like, I've talked to a lot of influencers, people, you know, like, I've been in interactions, and, like, a lot of them are kind of actually one of the people from the list of, like, the good ones that you mentioned. I've had, like, was a total fucking douchebag. And like, it's so, for me, my experience with you, though, was like, you've been, like, top tier, just like a class act. And I think that's, like, something people need to really recognize, that, like, there's reasons why people succeed at certain things in social media, and it really does go back to, like, having integrity, and, like, that shit goes a long way with me.
Cool. That means a lot to me, man. I really appreciate you saying that, and I really appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Yeah, no, it's been great, and I'm, you know, we'll get out there. Also, like, just for anyone that doesn't know or whatever, if you want to just drop your you're at, or any, you know, if you're on any other platform, just hit me with it, and so they can find you and follow you and talk to you or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. If anybody wants to reach out to me or shoot me a DM or message, you can send me, like, reach out to me at Financial Professional on Instagram.
Cool. So that's your platform for now.
Yeah, that's all I'm using right now. Definitely want to get out on other platforms, but really just, I've been crazy busy.
Word.
I'm putting content, like, working on some other stuff, you know about Noah.
Yep.
So everybody can stay tuned and see.
Yeah, man. Definitely follow him. He's definitely, even if it's like, and your stories are great. You do a lot of personalized shit in there. I've seen, like, it's just a good page. There's a lot of knowledge. So thanks for coming on, man. And I'll let you know about when I'm going to drop this, and we'll keep in touch.
Perfect. All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Thanks again. There we go.
My pleasure. Later, man.